The Mind of Christ, number 6, by Elder R.C. Porter, Tuesday, February the 7th, 1893. In the evening, Elder Porter occupied the hour from 7 to 8. He said, "The first thing I want to do is to take back one statement I made the other evening relative to the character of God, lest I dishonor him. Our God is infinite love, and that embraces every attribute of God. He is a God of love, and that love embraces all wisdom, and that wisdom is infinite. The plan of the universe was all perceived by him from the very beginning and to the very end. Upon this point, I will read from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 42, quote, "Even when he was cast out of heaven, infinite wisdom did not destroy Satan. Since only the service of love can be acceptable to God, the allegiance of his creatures must rest upon a conviction of his justice and benevolence. The inhabitants of heaven and of the worlds, being unprepared to comprehend the nature or consequence of sin, could not then have seen the justice of God in the destruction of Satan. Had he been immediately blotted out of existence, some would have served God from fear rather than from love. The influence of the deceiver would not have been fully destroyed, nor would the spirit of rebellion have been utterly eradicated. For the good of the entire universe, through ceaseless ages, he must more fully develop his principles that his charges against the divine government might be seen in their true light by all created beings, and that the justice and mercy of God and the immutability of his law might be forever placed beyond all question. He that ruleth in the heavens is the one who sees the end from the beginning, the one before whom the mysteries of the past and the future are alike outspread, and who beyond the woe and darkness and ruin that sin has wrought, beholds the accomplishment of his own purposes of love and blessing. Though clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and judgment are the foundation of his throne. And this the inhabitants of the universe, both loyal and disloyal, will one day understand. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Close quote. And when this plan is fully worked out, God's wisdom, love, and righteousness will be forever placed beyond all question. There's only one way for us to really understand this statement, and that is to pray to Jesus our righteousness, that he will reveal it to us by his Holy Spirit. Yes, the past, present, and future are all alike to him. It is all outspread before him. I started the other evening that there might be a possibility of his not knowing, but he is a God of all wisdom. How glad I am that that God in infinite love is unfolding these things to us so that we may know them now. This is the faithful and true testimony of the faithful and true witness that reveals to us our sins. Elder Porter then read the following from Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 78 and 79, quote, "Satan is constantly at work, with intense energy and under a thousand disguises, to misrepresent the character and government of God. With extensive, well-organized plans and marvelous power, he is working to hold the inhabitants of the world under his deceptions. God, the one infinite and all-wise, sees the end from the beginning, and in dealing with evil, his plans were far-reaching and comprehensive. It was his purpose, not merely to put down the rebellion, but to demonstrate to all the universe the nature of rebellion. God's plan was unfolding, showing both his justice and his mercy, and fully vindicating his wisdom and righteousness in his dealings with evil. The holy inhabitants of other worlds were watching with the deepest interest the events taking place on the earth. In the condition of the world that existed before the flood, they saw illustrated the results of the administration which Lucifer had endeavored to establish in heaven in rejecting the authority of Christ and casting aside the law of God. In those high-handed sinners of the antediluvian world, they saw the subjects over whom Satan held sway. The thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. Every emotion, every impulse and imagination was at war with the divine principles of purity and peace and love. It was an example of the awful depravity resulting from Satan's policy to remove from God's creatures the restraint of his holy law. By the facts unfolded in the progress of the great controversy, God will demonstrate the principles of his rules of government, which have been falsified by Satan and by all whom he has deceived. His justice will finally be acknowledged by the whole world, though the acknowledgment will be made too late to save the rebellious. God carries with him the sympathy and approval of the whole universe as, step by step, his great plan advances to its complete fulfillment. He will carry it with him in the final eradication of rebellion. It will be seen that all who have forsaken the divine precepts have placed themselves on the side of Satan in warfare against Christ. When the prince of this world shall be judged, and all who have united with him shall share his fate, the whole universe, as witnesses to the sentences, will declare, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Close quote. We do not begin to comprehend what God has done for our salvation. We should not rest satisfied too easily that we know it, for we have but just begun to study it. If you could see what is just before us as a people, you would acknowledge that every word I have read is the truth. I want every soul to take it. And brethren, remember the difference between the character of God and the character of Satan. Get a view of the difference between Christ, the lover and savior of men, and Satan, the accuser, and then we could examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. What is the faith? It is the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What was the faith kept in past ages and which we still must keep? It was and is love. When we get the love of this, as it is in Jesus, then will that mind be in us that was in him, and we shall see ourselves as he sees us. He is always the same. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Brethren, he that gets a true view of God and walks with him as Enoch did of old will keep step with God. He will not get behind the work of God, nor will he run in advance of it. He that believeth will not make haste. He will walk with God step by step. Has God been in haste to get sin out of the world? No. But he will at last cut it short in righteousness. We want to learn to keep step with God and let him work. In the statements I have read is unfolded the controversy between Christ and Satan. And brethren, the principles underlining the third angel's message are the principles God had in the very beginning. I wish I could make you all see it as God has unfolded it to my mind. If I could do it, there would not be a soul here but would say, "I can see that that applies to me." He says, "I know thy works." What kind of works are they? Poor, wretched, blind, and naked. Does he know our condition? Yes. Would it not be well for us to say, "I am full of sin, and there is no good thing in me"? what he says is true, even though I in my blindness fail to see it. While I have been studying the mind of Christ in the light of his righteousness, in the light of his love, I see that all my past life has been a failure, that what I have done was done from a wrong principle, a wrong motive. I want to tell you that everything the faithful and true witness has said is true in my case, and I did not know it. I was saying I am good, and I know a great deal, but it was all false. What loveliness I now see in the sin-pardoning Redeemer. I said, Christ is my Redeemer. And when I took that name, my sins were gone. Praise God, my sins are gone. Why does he show us our sins? It is because he is love, and his service toward us is a service of love. The Savior whom I adore is love. The law in which I delight is love. The power that is applied to save all who have transgressed is the power of love. The light that lightens our pathway is the light of love. Oh, that we could see the love of God as it is. The only way for us to see it is for us to receive the counsel of the faithful and true witness. And when we get the power of that love, we have all the power there is in the universe. We must not talk about laying plans for the message as we have done in the past. It is blasphemy to do it. We have a new power descending upon us. The Spirit of God is waiting our demand and reception. There must be broader plans. I want to tell you the reason why there is so much in the name of God. I will read from Supplement to Experience and Views, page 1, quote, I saw that God had children who do not see and keep the Sabbath. They had not rejected the light upon it. At the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. Close quote. There is something in the Sabbath we have never had that God will reveal to us in the time of trouble. The fulfillment of the view is beginning to be seen. We have reached this time. It is time that from every sincere heart this petition should be ascending to heaven. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. We have done the work too much in our own strength. We must have wisdom and strength from the throne of the Eternal One. The power that awaits our demand and reception is for us. It is the power of the Father's Word. If Jesus had doubted the ability that God gave him to create, could he have created anything? No. He believed that God was able to do it, and he said he could do it. The same God has sent us on a mission now. We have at our command all the power of the universe. How do I know it? God is love. The Sabbath reveals the name of God, the name of love. Why did God create the universe? For his pleasure. But love seeketh not her own. Why were all the worlds created? It was the outreachings of divine love. Why were the flowers, the trees, the fruits, and everything to make man a beautiful and happy home created? It was the same outreachings of divine love. And the Sabbath memorial brings this all to view. In the light of God's love, in creating all things, cannot we more fully preach the Sabbath? Let us do it in that way. It is love that brings to Christ those who are in sin, and it makes them new creatures in Christ Jesus. God is love. Christ is love. And his new name is love. This is the power by which God works. But what power did Satan have when he went forth to war against God? The power of creature force. Now, we can see the contrast between God and Satan. One is love power, and the other is self power. One is love to others, and the other is love of self. What kind of a council did God and Christ hold way back in the eternal ages? It was the council of peace. But Satan held a selfish council to devise means to overthrow the council of peace. By these principles, we can find out whether we are in the faith or not. Did God bring a railing accusation against even Satan and fallen angels? Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you have been talking against persons, bringing accusations against them, have you not been in the counsels of Satan? What have they been doing in our nation? The professed Church of Christ has exalted herself to control the government by creature force. Have they not done just what Satan did? Then is it not time for God to work? To show the difference between the power of force and the power of love? Elder Porter here read the following extract from the Confessions of Napoleon at St. Helena, as reported by General Bertrand. Quote, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not a man. Superficial minds see a resemblance between Christ and the founder of empires and the gods of other religions. The resemblance does not exist. There is between Christianity and whatever other religion the distance of infinity. We can say to the authors of every other religion, you are neither gods nor the agents of the deity. What do these gods so boastful know more than other mortals? It is not so with Christ. Everything in him astonishes me. Between him and whoever else in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. He is truly a being by himself. His ideas and his sentiments, the truths which he announces, his manner of convincing, are not explained either by human organization or by the nature of things. Christ, having but a few weak disciples, was condemned to death. He died the object of the wrath of the Jewish priests and of the contempt of the nation, and abandoned and denied by his own disciples. They are about to take me and to crucify me, said he. I shall be abandoned of all the world. My chief disciple will deny me at the commencement of my punishment. I shall be left to the wicked. But then divine justice being satisfied, original sin being expiated by my suffering, the bond of man to God will be renewed, and my death will be the life of my disciples. Then they will be more strong without me than with me, for they will see me rise again. I will ascend to the skies, and I shall send to them from heaven a spirit who will instruct them. The blood of Christians flowed in torrents. They died kissing the hand that killed them. The soul alone protested, while the body surrendered itself to all torture. Everywhere Christians fell, and everywhere they triumphed. You speak of Caesar or of Alexander, of their conquest, and of the enthusiasm which they kindled in the hearts of their soldiers. But can you conceive of a dead man making conquests with an army faithful and entirely devoted to his memory? My armies have forsaken me, even while living, as the Carthaginian army forgot Hannibal. Such is our power. A single battle loss crushes us, and adversity scatters our friends. Can you conceive of Caesar as the eternal power of the Roman Senate, and from the depths of his mausoleum, governing the empire, watching over the destinies of Rome? Such is the history of the invasions and conquests of the world by Christianity. Such is the power of the God of the Christian. And such is the perpetual miracle of the progress of the faith and of the government of his church. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires. But upon what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Close quote. Yes, there is power in the religion of Christ to stand the test of ages. There is power in love, brethren. This love must characterize the people of God with the message from this time forward. These are some of the thoughts I wish to bring before you to show the difference between those principles that are governing others and those that should govern us. What power can make us go out and know no fear? Perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You take the feeblest instrument and give him a view of the God of love, and as he goes out to proclaim the message of him who is love, he will have his name of love in his forehead. Let us grasp it by faith. It is the power of the message. Will you take it? If you will, we shall see the workings of his mighty power among us. What are we doing in this conference? God has said that it is time we were getting together and praying and pleading with God for his blessing. It is time we were seeking God with all our heart. I would that you all could see it as I now see it. Satan was an accuser of the brethren. Go back to Minneapolis. Were there accusations made against the brethren? I ask you in the name of my God of love, what kind of counsels have you been holding? It is time we were holding counsels of peace. Let us let the mind that dwelt in Christ dwell in us. I thank God I see the cloud rising, that we are beginning to see that we are poor and wretched and blind and naked. When he shows us the worst of our cases, he does it in connection with blessed words of help and salvation. When he describes our nakedness, he holds out the blessed garment of righteousness to cover all our sins. He does not want to make us ashamed. He puts beneath us the everlasting arms. Oh, if we could only see what God wants to do for us. May God open to us the counsels of peace. It is time to make acknowledgement of faults of one to another. There is a work for us to do, and may God give us wisdom for the discharge of every duty. Oh, my brethren, hold counsels of peace before the time shall pass, and it will be too late. The end of this study.